Hello and welcome back to the Goodness Lover Show. Today we're joined by TV personality Siobhan Sana to talk about the roadmap out of IBS and SIBO.
Siobhan is an incredible person, a dear friend of ours actually, and you're going to learn a lot about these hidden and unknown causes of IBS. She's interviewed hundreds of the world's leading experts, and actually you would say a conservative estimate, hundreds of thousands of people have been through her summits and courses from all over the world. So let's dive in.
Well, we are very privileged to have Miss Siobhan Sana with us today to really dig into the topic of IBS. Thank you for joining us, Siobhan.
Thank you so much for having me. I love talking about this, weird as it sounds. But I never thought I'd get happy about talking about it. But, you know, we need to talk about it more. And IBS, irritable bowel syndrome, is a very unsexy condition and a worse name. And then it's so highly related to a topic that I have been working diligently to train people about and educate and help them to discover SIBO, small intestine bacterial overgrowth, which is the number one underlying cause of IBS. And it can come from, wait for it, underlying cause, food poisoning, even if it was decades ago.
Wow.
And
wow.
That is a big surprise, right?
The big it's surprise crazy. Revealed straight away.
I know.
So, Siobhan, I know this comes after years of interviewing the top experts in the world. We discussed just before that you've maybe spoken to 300 experts in the last couple of years. You've created, and through your own process of, I guess, despair with IBS, you've learned all this material. You've distributed out. You founded SIBO SOS. You wrote Healing SIBO, and you've there it is on the screen there, and you've reached millions in the process. So that's amazing, and we're so excited to learn from you today and learn the best of the best that you've gleaned after all this experience. But I guess before we get into it, it'd be great to hear about your story. When did your journey with IBS start, and how did you dig yourself out of that?
Well, when I tell my story, I like to do it in a way to educate other people before someone starts yawning and going, I don't want to hear another story about someone else because my belly's bloated and I'm uncomfy. Know that I'm with you 100%. And I'll try to educate you as I tell you my story. And that is that when I was very young, 5, 6, 7, I went to India with my parents and got very, very sick. And then went on a field trip where we milked the cows, city slicker girl milking the cows. And we drank some of the unpasteurized milk because we were like being farmers, and got very, very sick. And basically after that, I remember my father, who's Indian, who's very tuned into sort of Ayurvedic cleansing type things, noticed that I wasn't going to the bathroom regularly. And he said something to my mom, like, okay, I'm 7, 8 years old. I remember this. And my mom asked me about it. And I was like, get out of my business. Like, it was my first experience of really remembering shame around a body function. Because I was like, oh, I can tell something's wrong. Why are you nipping my face, my grill? And, basically, after those episodes, I wasn't the same, right? So I was constipated. I was bloaty. I was like little skinny kid, poofy belly, and went through life, you know, always was very careful with my diet because I knew something wasn't right. And so I would try all these alternative things. Even I remember going to a nutritionist at 15 years old because I didn't have my license. My mother had to drive me. Like I have really been experimenting with trying to figure stuff out with me for a very long time. And fast forward to a very high pressure TV job and being the weirdo because I was gluten free, legit. Like seriously, people? Okay. But basically, I had a random conversation with another gluten-free person at work. And she's like, you know, I'm on these crazy antibiotics. I went to the University of South Florida and I did this weird test where I drank something and I blew into a test tube. And now I'm on these intense antibiotics. And I was like, what? And it just stuck with me. And I was really not doing well because I was also in a moldy building and had been for 20 years. And by the way, totally disavowed that it could possibly be impacting me. And oh boy, did it impact me. Anyway, I called her back and I was like, what were you talking about? Explain. And she gave me enough information so that I was able to get tested, got a false negative, and lost another 18 months because I didn't have them transfer the test results with the graph to the doctor. It just came back with like negative. And getting your test results is really important. Ask for them. You bought them. You own them. And then I finally found someone who we lovingly call the digestive detective. And he spent like a miracle 2 hours with me on my first visit. And while he wasn't originally totally savvy on, very savvy doctor, but wasn't totally up with the protocols at the moment of what was going on if you had SIBO, I would just walk in with studies. And he'd be like, oh, good, thank you. They didn't teach me this at medical school. Oh, okay, yep. And he'd write the script and off I would go. And that's one of the ways that I really got better and was able to manage this condition.
Wow. Mm. So what is that life? What did that life look like after? Like, what was it like for you to discover, you know, get to the root cause and how did it improve your digestion?
It's weird to be relieved by a diagnosis, right? Like, oh, I have SIBO. That's awesome. Right? Like, yay, I finally know what it is. And then you grieve that. And then, you know, it's a very emotional situation, as anyone who's had a chronic condition that didn't know what it was can relate to. Like, I literally dedicated the book to anyone who's had a medical mystery, because I definitely had a medical mystery for a very long time. And what does my life look like after? It's that of managing, because I do have the underlying cause of the food poisoning being an underlying higher potential for getting the SIBO back. But I always take my Prokinetic, which I can quickly explain what that is. So I do things actively to make sure I don't have relapses. But there is a contentment because I've given up the search and now I'm able to just like manage my life in a way that is much more workable. A chronic condition that is not treated can cause so much havoc in your life. And if you do have a chronic condition and it is treated and treatable, hopefully, your life can be 100% better. Of course, I wanted to be cured after I took my first 2 weeks of rifaximin, I was shocked. I was like, I'm not better. What's going on? I called the doctor. I'm like, this was a bad drug. I don't know. I was very upset. Because we're so used to the blessing of being able to often take something and get better. But that's not what this is for some people. And that was a big wake-up call. It was also a big grow-up. But there's a peace that comes from knowing that you're doing everything you can to manage something like that. And it's quite empowering, especially if you felt powerless previously. Mm.
Thanks for sharing. I'd love to talk more about the food poisoning piece because when it comes to food poisoning, this is not spoken about. Everyone just assumes that food poisoning is just an acute issue. Once you get through the symptoms, initially the diarrhea stops, you're good. So what is the deal? How can food poisoning just stuff up our digestion long term?
So food poisoning, and by the way, if anyone's listening to this and is like, I've never had food poisoning and yet I still probably have IBS and SIBO. Have you ever had the stomach flu? You know, have you ever had like a stomach bug where you're like, yeah, not great for 12, 14, 20 hours, but you're fine. It's no big deal. You're not like, you know, barfing all the time. It wasn't like super dramatic. That can still be enough. It just depends on your body. But basically what happens is, in layman's terms, is the bacteria that invades makes your body create an antibody. And that antibody then confuses the mechanism that is the sweeping wave, the crumb cleaner of debris out of the small intestine. And that the mechanism is called the migrating motor complex. And when the MMC is not working properly, it doesn't do that sweeping out motion of the last of debris, of food, et cetera, and bacteria. you can have an overgrowth of bacteria in the small intestine. And that's what small intestine bacterial overgrowth is. So that migrating motor complex is the key. What can also, you know, harm it would be, or harm its action would be adhesions, where it's literally scar tissue internally pulling tissue, you know, because it's bound. And therefore, you could have a good MMC, but it doesn't physically move properly because of the plumbing being kinked or whatever. It could be from opioid use, even after, like, you're not an opioid addict, but you had anesthesia, then you had to be on pain meds, and you weren't on a prokinetic. So the migrating motor complex was deeply depressed, because it's a depressant, deeply, you know, not working, basically, slowed down. And so you didn't allow the sweeping motion to happen as effectively as it could have been. So you can still have the bacteria there overgrowing. So there are some odd or unexpected additional ways that you can have the migrating motor complex not work as well. And that can lead to SIBO. But the condition is called post-infectious IBS. After the infection of the food poisoning, you get irritable bowel syndrome. Now, not everybody who gets food poisoning gets post-infectious IBS. However, the more food poisoning you have, the more prone to food poisoning in the future you have. I'm sure you two have eaten the same meal, and one of you got sick and the other one didn't. Or, you know, we see that at big tables, right?
Yeah.
The people who did get sick legitimately did have food poisoning. Everybody else's immune system fought it off. And therefore, you weren't able to fight it off, so to speak. And then you make antibodies, and then it slows down your migrating motor complex, and it's quite the cycle.
Interesting.
So by antibodies, are you saying that your body, is it molecular mimicry? Is it is it an autoimmune response at that point?
That's such a great question. So it's not like the autoimmune situation that you would have, like lupus. Okay, there's a scale. You know, there's a spectrum. So it is an autoimmune like function because your body's created these antibodies, but then it is through molecular mimicry, where the interstitial cells of Cajal on the inside of the small intestine basically get confused, which cracks me up because I never think of the body being confused because I think it's so wise, but ultimately it gets confused. And so it doesn't function as properly with the migrating motor complex because of these antibodies mimicking things that are confusing it.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Okay. And so you've mentioned prokinetics a couple of times. Can we get a definition on that before we keep moving?
Yeah. So the word proactive, like forward, and kinetic means motion. So a prokinetic is actually something that moves and stimulates your migrating motor complex. And it can be something as beautiful as ginger. It can be something called ibogaine, which, by the way, if you take opioids, don't take. Read the label. It's a herbal combination that's very famous. It can be Motegrity in the United States. That is a prescription. There are literally prokinetics for people after they take opioids, because opioid constipation is a real thing. Now, prokinetics are not a laxative. So you can't really tell all the time if they're working. The only way some people can tell is if they don't get SIBO again, which is kind of sucky. But they are part of the key, actually, to preventing relapse. You really need to find your underlying cause of why you have SIBO and IBS. And so that's why the blood test called IBS Smart is the blood test to see if you have those antibodies. And even though there's no like, okay, you have these antibodies, here's what you can do to cure these antibodies, like that cure doesn't really exist, the answer at least is, okay, always do a prokinetic. Like, you now know that you need to do a prokinetic. And I think when you know things, it increases your compliance. Like, I used to be like, I'll do it occasionally. But once I had that blood test and it confirmed my antibody situation, it really, you know, like, I don't go to bed without taking it. Like, it's I'm brushing my teeth and taking that Prokinetic. It is a ritual and it has helped me so much.
Huh. So you did the IBS SMART and you found out that you had I guess food poisoning induced IBS.
Post-infectious IBS from that. Yes. Ah. Yeah. It's worth finding out. Some people are like, yeah, but I won't, it doesn't necessarily dictate treatment, because if you have SIBO, which can only be diagnosed by a breath test or an aspirate from an endoscopy, it still gives you really good information about your underlying cause. And I think that's super, super valuable.
So coming from someone that's gone through this journey themselves as well, it is a very confusing thing, right? You're suspicious for a while, then you maybe get the breath test done. You're like, whoa, I see it written on a paper. And then you're like, now what? And then you have this obviously entire process, which I know from the thousands of people that have gone through your programs and you've helped over your years of doing this, is a very confusing process. And so I know you were showing something with us before the call about how do we see this thing? Yeah. I thought it was a really cool diagram that I'd love to dive into.
So this is on page 111 of the book. I'm so glad you asked. And this is what we at SIBO SOS call the SIBO recovery roadmap. And basically, this is the algorithm, a protocol that was developed by Dr. Mark Pimentel of Cedars-Sinai in Los Angeles. And then Dr. Allison C. Becker and Dr. Steven Sandberg Lewis contributed to it to sort of, give it an additional, angles. And basically, it starts out with, so you think you have SIBO, and then it takes you through what to do to test, treat, and retest, take your Prokinetic, do the diet. I mean, it's a very systematic, so you don't have to be confused. And this is the technique that Dr. C. Becker teaches in her SIBO Pro course to practitioners around the world. This is the foundation of, here we have the three treatments, the elemental diet, the herbals, and antibiotics. So those are your three treatments. And you can choose one of the three. If one doesn't work, you can try the other one. If that one doesn't work, you can try another one, which is quite unique about SIBO, is that you can do a lot of it yourself because the herbals are fairly readily available. And you also, if something doesn't work, you can try something else, which is very cool. So often, if you're dealing with something, you can this is the only thing you can do. If it doesn't work, you're out of luck. So it gives you a lot of flexibility. What did you do? Did you do herbals or did you do antibiotics?
The antibiotics route. Yeah. Which I was a little bit nervous about after doing all these interviews ourselves, obviously, I was told by a lot of, functional doctors that they're very specific.
The rifaximin.
The rifaximin's very specifics, but
targeted.
What do you think about it?
Oh, I think it's a miracle. I do. Right. I think it can be a miracle for people. It is a very unique drug. And I was very scared about doing it. I didn't want to mess up my microbiome. Of course, antibiotics can save your life. Bless them. But I tried to avoid them. That's one of the reasons why I probably also had SIBO. And I was, a contributing factor after the food poisoning. So rifaximin stays in the small intestine. It is the drug given to people who have traveler's diarrhea. So it makes sense if you're trying to reduce a bacterial load to take a drug that's targeted to that kind of bacteria. And it is very unique in that it stays in the small intestine. It's a fascinating drug. And, in all your free time, you can research it and see what it does to help the liver. Really wild. And Dr. Mark Pimentel is the one who figured out again that was the right drug. And he's also the one who said, what about using amino acids that are typically just used for a feeding tube that is known as the elemental diet to starve the bacteria instead of just killing it from a blowtorch effect. And so actually the elemental diet is the most effective treatment. And it's usually 14 days. Then you retest, you can find out if you still have overgrowth. And often people will do a few more days. It used to taste disgusting. like vomit. And that's true. I'm not making that up. It was disgusting. But over the last few years, several companies have created better tasting elemental diets that taste like super sweet, like milkshakes. I mean, they're not something I'm going to go to a restaurant and order, but it is more palatable because that is all you're doing. Like, it is legit a liquid diet. And if you're worried about losing weight, understandably so, you just have to make sure you're consuming enough calories. So, you know, some people actually gain weight because the nutrition is so readily available, because that's what the elemental diet does. It feeds you, but starves the bacteria. You absorb the nutrition so high up in your digestive tract that it doesn't even make it to the small intestine. And so that starves them. It's very interesting. Very interesting how it works. Very effective.
What's in those shakes?
Amino acids, like literally the elements of food. But often amino acids are disgusting tasting. And so that's why it had such initially a bad reputation. And some amino acids are sweet, but it's legitimately like the building blocks of food. And you can add some oil to it for the fat. And then you can add some glucose. There's a formula. So on the bottle, if you're getting the tub, whatever, read the instructions, follow those instructions. And Dr. Seebecker has also created a homemade version of it. It's kind of expensive, but, you know, going to a lot of doctors, not having the condition resolved, having it rob your life of energy and nutrition, really, the SIBO, that bacteria in your small intestine overgrowing can lead to malnutrition. So you know, you see those little kids in the pictures of these third world countries and they have those bloated bellies. Now it could be parasites, it could be a lot of things, but that bloated belly is also sometimes the overgrowth of the bacteria and those bacteria releasing gas, which is why people bloat and have distended bellies with SIBO. That is the number one complaint, and that is the number one symptom. But it's also diarrhea, constipation, or alternating diarrhea and constipation. So it's kind of like backwards. I probably should have said that sooner, but just in case anybody's wondering, like, do I have this? Like, if you can relate to some of those symptoms. But keep in mind, it mimics other things. So it does mimic parasites. So please, please, please get a SIBO breath test. If it is negative and you did the test properly and you're like, I'm not really sure. Well, okay. If I don't have that, what do I have? Get a really good parasite test.
I found it interesting what you're saying with the elemental diet just being amino acids. And I was just imagining all the gym rats out there just going, man, all those amino acids, this sounds like the best diet ever. And like just showing the ignorance, I guess, in the sense of, you know, that's out there in the community right now, just around what food is and what we actually need to for this building block. So I was curious to think more about that. So if someone that's more in the general audience now that hears the elemental diet, yeah, and just think it's like a gym supplement, let's take a step back to someone that's trying to, maybe they're just a bit annoyed. This is how it started with me. It's just like, Sarah was like, are you a bit bloated? And I'm like, I just thought it was just normal to have a bit of bloating there, I guess, at my age or something. And so someone that's maybe at the start point of trying to work out if they have SIBO or they're a bit frustrated at some bloating, what is the path forward, you know, would you think at the start of that map? Where would they begin? What are some simple things they can do before maybe even getting a breath test?
Well, first thing, you can adjust your diet. And that means a low fermentation diet. So there are a lot of people talking about IBS and they will say, do the low FODMAP diet out of Australia, Monash University, amazing. And then they'll be like, okay, bye-bye. That is your life now. You are only going to eat low FODMAP foods and that's going to manage your IBS. Have a good day. This is where I go crazy. It makes me nuts. Because you need a diverse diet. Okay, low FODMAP is a beautiful thing. It can really reduce your symptoms. Symptom reduction comes from dietary changes with SIBO and IBS. It does not cure it. It does not cure it. Your diet will not cure IBS or SIBO. You can manage your symptoms, though, and feel so much better, like within 3 days, even less for some people. But it is not the only thing. If you can figure out that you had food poisoning and then you can treat it, with herbals, elemental diet, or the special antibiotics, your whole life can get so much better. You don't have to always be the weird one, right? It's fine with me, but you know what I'm saying. You can really expand your diet. So what are some triggers? Onions, garlic, apples. These are all very high FODMAP foods. Please don't make me say all the letters of what FODMAP stands for. They are carbohydrates that are easily fermentable. And so Dr. Allison Seebecker took it a step further and combined this specific carbohydrate diet, GAPS diet, all these different diets, including the low FODMAP diet, and made the SIBO specific food guide. And that is how my book is based on that in terms of the 40 recipes. But it also, I label all the other cool diets that are, you know, we pay attention to in the book, like including biphasic and all that, which is based on the SIBO specific food guide that she created. So if you want to, first thing, lower your fermentable load and get yourself scheduled for a SIBO breath test. Do the prep, which is 12 hours of a special diet that's even more specialized just to reduce feeding the bacteria for 12 hours, fast for 12 hours. It's all laid out from the lab where you get it. And then do the SIBO breath test. You drink some lactulose, which is a sugar the bacteria love, but that you as a human being cannot absorb. And then you blow into these test tubes every 20 minutes for 3 hours. Send it off to the lab. This is one scenario. You can do it in hospitals and in clinics, but I like doing it at home. And then they send you back the results. Be sure to get the graph, because that way you can see what the parts per million of the bacteria have been releasing, whether it's hydrogen or methane producing bacteria or organisms. And then they have a new test called TrioSmart in the United States. They're trying to go global. This is the same lab that does the IBS Smart test created by Dr. Mark Pimentel, Gemelli Labs. And they're now testing for all three gases. So previously, and a lot of people are just doing hydrogen and methane gases, which is great. If you can't get the TrioSmart, don't worry about it. You can only get a two gas breath test, go for it. But get the test and see if you have SIBO, and then you can do a protocol and then you can get better. And you might have to do the protocol a couple of times, retest in the middle, you know, after a couple of protocols, a couple of treatment plans. So you can see, because every treatment plan is going to reduce that bacterial load. It probably, if you have high numbers, won't do it on the first round. And that was also very unusual. Not only could you choose from three treatments, but you may have to do them over again to get where you want to go. But it can be done. It really can be done.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. So I know some people in our community are a little bit, maybe they've brought a SIBO test up with their doctor and they've been met with skepticism. So it would be me not being completely honest if I wasn't like, I trusted the test, but I was like, how accurate is this test? So for someone that's in that ballpark trying to work out is, you know, answering that question or perhaps have met that cynicism from their doctor, what would you say to that?
I would say that if you do the breath prep, if you do the breath test prep properly, and if the lab you're using calibrates their machines frequently, if like Aerodiagnostics in the United States using Quintron equipment and just fanatical about the calibration, you're in pretty good shape with that. I would worry more about the interpretation than the machinery and the test. And that's why I want everyone to get their numbers, so that if the doctor doesn't know how to read it properly, you can have someone else read it. Also, let's say you're on a borderline between positive and negative. If you are on the borderline or slightly negative, but you still have symptoms, most practitioners are going to say that's positive. So you could be like, well, the line is here and that says negative, but I still have bloating and constipation. That's positive. That's sort of, you know, and there have been all of these consensus and a lot of time and energy put into validating the test. And Dr. Mark Pimentel did that last year, the lactulose breath test. If you're not going to have the endoscopy, which is very invasive, that is the gold standard and it has been validated. So if a doctor's not up to speed on that, then I feel like, you know, you can walk in with the studies and the results and, you know, really help to convince them. And if you're trying to find a new practitioner to help you, when you're calling to make the appointment, you know, speak to someone at the front desk and ask them, does your office do SIBO breath testing? And if they're like, huh, then you just need to keep looking.
Well, great. Answered.
Great. Steps there. So someone's like, step number one, I guess have some symptoms here? Am I struggling with constipation, possibly like diarrhea, loose stools, or bloating? So then they're like, I might have an issue here. I'm going to try the low FODMAP diet and see if my symptoms get relieved a little bit. And at the same time, I'm going to order the SIBO breath test, do the test, right, get the results, actually receive the charts.
Thank you.
And I'm then, and then, I guess if it's positive, start to treat SIBO. But then, at what point would you maybe, say, get the IBS smart test to see why you got it in the first place? Is that necessary, or is that if you're just extra keen?
It's just extra keen. I was not extra keen in the beginning because I hate giving blood. I hate needles. But once I did it, I was like, ooh, I wish I had done this sooner. Because right, I think more people are, as I said earlier, are compliant when there's a because. Like, if I have a supplement, you better remind me of why I'm taking it or I'm not going to take it. Yeah. I'm just, you know, you get pill fatigue. So you kind of sometimes need that extra motivation and validation as to your why. And I think that that kind of data really helps.
Mm-hmm. Great.
You'll be fine then because you love getting your blood taken.
Yeah, I do. Well, I don't love it, but
well,
I just
like,
don't
we've been
mind
in there
it.
And I've been like, don't look at me, don't look at me. I'm fine. Like, and Sarah's like, oh, it's cute, baby. You're struggling. But here's Sarah watching the blood
like,
come out.
They're like, okay, I'm going to go in. I'm like, okay. And I'm like, good job.
Oh,
didn't
my
feel
gosh.
That at all.
Yeah. Oh my
gosh. Wow, you're taking a lot today.
It really doesn't bother me at all. I literally have people come to my house. I have a mobile phlebotomist and I warn them. I'm like, let's just do this lying down. Okay. I'm just going to get on the floor right now.
Wow.
Have had, yeah. And here's the glass of orange juice with the like pure sugar for after the fasting. And like, if you're like, as soon as you pull that needle, like I am swigging this and I'm watching kitty cat YouTube videos to get my mind off of it. I got ice cubes. I got the freezy spray. I got people calling me on the phone. I'm like ordering groceries. I'm doing anything to distract myself. So Sarah, we have so
You'll
much
be fine.
In common.
I'm like a pincushion too because I have really tiny veins. So they usually are like jabbing at me for ages. And then they're like, oh, I'll get my friend and see if she's any better. And they have a go for a while. So good thing I'm okay with it. That would be much worse.
Yeah, at least, yeah.
I won't say I like needles, but I'm neutral.
We were getting a lot of blood done at the time, so I'm trying to like prep myself up a little bit. But
So, and then if you did get a positive to the IBS SMART, you have some antibody situation happening. Basically, you're on a prokinetic for life. Is that...
So that's a great question. I'm very happy to be on a prokinetic for life because I've had the condition for so long. But there's some clinical experience of where the antibodies can go away over time, and you can get better over time, which is very nice. That's very good news. But for me, making sure my migrating motor complex is moving properly is totally worth it. And if you don't like the idea of a pharmaceutical drug, then you can do the ginger. I mean, there are some natural prokinetics. But if you have lower esophageal reflux, you will not want to do ginger because it will burn your esophagus. Right. So because of the ginger burn is what they call it. So you have to play around. You have to experiment. You have to have resilience. And I guess that's the message of hope I want to leave everybody with is that there are answers. It's not just about being on a special diet. You can eat more food eventually. You don't have to, you know, starve your microbiome of certain foods. And that doesn't mean you'll like be eating, you know, garlic for breakfast, lunch, and dinner in the future. But there are a lot of workarounds. There are a lot of people that have gone before you and have figured a lot of this out. And so while it can be very confusing and frustrating, you're not alone. There is support, there are answers, and it doesn't have to really, it can be so expensive in the search. The search is expensive. That's why I want to educate people as much as possible to help save them time, energy, and money so that they can get their quest, you know, the learning curve much more shallow instead of so high, because other people have been there before and, you know, they can guide you. And so that's why I wrote the book. That's why I did the summits. That's why I have this big Facebook community, SIBO SOS, because ultimately the SOS has come to mean save ourselves.
That's a beautiful message. And we'd love to reiterate just what you're saying there, in the sense that you've been so diligent with this community, with this topic for so long, and you've handled it with great care. And I know when we've ever sent our community your way when you're doing another summit or whatever, but people love it and it's such a great event. So thank you for the work that you do. And if someone's listening to this and they're thinking, hey, I need an extra guide in this space, an extra bit of light to help me on this journey, where is the best place for them to go?
Go to SIBOSOS.com, and we have SIBO Recovery Roadmap course available. You can download that algorithm for free, so you can sort of check it out. But then the course takes you step by step. We hold your hand. There's also a great Facebook community, SIBOSOS, with 20,000 people, and they're talking about it nonstop 24/7 around the world. So you do have a lot of support. SIBOSOS.com.
Excellent. And then the book, where can people get their hands on that wonderful piece?
Thank you. It is on Audible. It's on Amazon. It's getting translated into Polish. Thank you.
Polish.
And, I'm very excited about that. I can say multiple languages now. And the Audible was done by an award-winning actor. She actually did the Vice President of the United States Audible book. I was very happy.
No,
I was like,
fancy.
That is pretty cool.
Fancy. She's award winner. It's cool. And it's on Kindle and, you know, Barnes & Noble, where most books are sold. So, you know, I hope everyone can get a hold of it. This is like, seriously, even if I didn't write this book, this is the book I wish I had had when I first figured out that SIBO even existed. And I went to write a book, realized how hard it was to write a book. And I was like, you know what? I'm a TV person. I can do a summit. And so then I did this SIBO SOS Summit 1, SIBO SOS Summit 2, the IBS and SIBO SOS Summit, the Microbiome Rescue Summit. And I'm pulling talks from each one of those and making it what we behind the scenes called the ultimate summit. And it's going to be the SIBO and IBS summit, which is going to have highlights from each one of those summits. So that is a lot of time consuming, you know, information. This is like the highlight reel here, and it's under $20. So it's one of the best investments you can make if you want to figure out how to really crack the code of your SIBO. So thank you. Thanks for having me, guys.
Definitely check out her book. And I think that's a great reflection. You said, like, we live in a day and age where you can say SIBO to doctors now, and to, you know, particularly people that have been trained in it, that, and you're not going to be met with blank faces. Like, it's something we understand. There's resources, there's testing, there's $20 books, which, you know, it wasn't so long ago where no one had any of this resources.
Sounds like you, right, Siobhan, had a much harder journey trying to figure it out because no one knew what it was, and none of these tests were as available, I guess, as they are now. So, yeah.
And I think, that's just an important place for us all to reflect upon, of how amazing this technology is, that wherever you're listening to in the world, wherever you're watching the world, that there's help out there. Don't be discouraged. Check out the book, check out whatever resource, particularly at Siobhan's website, and we would encourage you just to go and annoy her, go in there and
give me everything,
write her an email and say I want it all. But no, seriously, thank you so much, Siobhan, for everything you do. And it's so cool to hear your journey. We spent actually hours either side of this conversation talking to you about so much. And you're such a spiritual person, and your combination of your journey and being a TV personality combined to help so many people. So thank you so much for the work that you do.
Thanks, guys.
Well, Siobhan, she's awesome. And it was funny, the first interview that we scheduled, we ended up talking, and then it's like so late over there.
We spoke for 2 hours and then just like chatting and catching up, that at the end of it, it was like 10 o'clock. 10 p.m. her time. She's like, hey, guys, I'm too tired to actually do this interview.
So we had to reschedule.
So this is take two. So we only spoke for 1 hour before we went live.
She's actually a really spiritual person. And you can see when someone's on purpose and on mission with the particular, her heart for what she's trying to do. There's obviously a lot of people in the space that are just opportunistic, but she's just not one of them. Mm-hmm. And she's just really trying to help as many people as she can. And she's using her gifts to, you know, the best of her ability to get this amazing message out. And she's doing an amazing job of that. So make sure you check out her resources. We think she's an amazing person. But what did you think of the call? We would love to hear from you in the comments, our community, family, the Goodness Lover family. So leave us a comment and make it encouraging if you would sort of, that would be nice.
We prefer those ones. Was the food poisoning thing a surprise for you? Had you heard of that hidden cause or about maybe there being kinks or just in the digestive tract that makes SIBO develop or the MMC compromised? Had you heard about any of that? What about prokinetics or those fancy tests that she discussed?
So, we'll have a very educated discussion in the comments this week. So we're looking forward to it. Give us the thumbs up while you're there. And if you want to be a great supporter of the channel, make sure you click that subscribe button. That helps us in the YouTube algorithm land and hit that notification bell.
So thanks for joining us once again. And we will see you next week.